The Houston Arboretum and Nature Center is hosting a pair of bat-related events September 22nd and 23rd, including Bat Fest, an event celebrating the many species of bats who live in Greater Houston and what they do for our natural environment. Ahead of that same event last year, we took some time to learn a little bit about the bats we have here from Cullen Geiselman, a conservationist and bat researcher based here in Houston. She told us about the different kinds of bats you can find in Greater Houston.
Many people might not realize that bats are actually mammals related to us, and there are 11 species of bats known in the greater Houston area. So they're quite diverse group of animals that we have, and all of our bats here eat insects. So it's 11 different types of insect-eating bats in the greater Houston area.
You mentioned that they're mammals. Are they the only flying mammals that we have?
They are indeed our only flying mammals. They're the only ones capable of sort of self-sustained vertical flight. So we have flying squirrels here in Houston, but those actually just sort of leap from tree to tree and have skin between their arms and legs to allow them to glide, where bats actually fly. They flap their wings, and they're essentially flying with their hands because that is what the bat wing is. It's just a very large hand.
You mentioned 11 different species of bats in the Houston area. Are there particular differences between them that are observable?
Sure. Well, observable when you get to see them up close might be a little more difficult seeing them flying around. But they range in size from a bat that has a wingspan of almost 17 inches called hoary bat, which is pretty plump, round, fuzzy bat that lives in trees, and it kind of looks like a flying hamster. And to our smallest bat called a tricolored bat, and it has the wingspan of probably 6 inches and probably weighs a penny or two. And this little tiny bat that also lives in caves and buildings. And since we don't have caves here, they make use of various human-made habitat for their roost.
Where do we tend to find bats in the Houston area?
Some of the best places to look for bats can actually be in your neighborhood. Some bats live only in during the day in trees, and so when they come out at night, they'll be flying out of trees, and so you can see them in your neighborhood, or they might actually be living in someone's home near you. But if you would like to see large congregations of bats, I recommend going to the Wall Street Bridge over Buffalo Bayou and Buffalo Bayou Park. We have a rather large colony of Mexican free-tailed bats, maybe up to 250,000 of them living under that bridge, and it's a great place to watch them emerge at dusk. And there we have various bridges around town. If you go to the Watonga Bridge in TC Jester Park, you can also see a large colony of Mexican free-tailed bats.
What impact do bats in the Houston area have on our ecosystem?
Bats are, like I said, we have only insect-eating bats here, which is important because they have this great ability to consume up to their body weight in insects. And that ranges from moths that are crop pests, so large beetles that can also be pests, down to small size of mosquitoes and midges. So they are consuming vast tons of flying insects every night. And that is really beneficial for our plant communities and then also for us.
You mentioned the Wall Bridge. There are other bridges where you can tend to find bats around the Houston area. Are there some things about that interaction with our urban environment that can be challenging for bats? Do our buildings, our pavement, our noise, does any of that affect them?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting that some bats, we probably have more Mexican free-tailed bats living here in Houston, Texas, now that humans have built bridges and parking structures and other places that mimic caves. So that's actually benefited these bats. They've moved east from the hill country, some of them, and now are able to live in Houston because we don't have natural caves that they normally prefer. But we've created this habitat that they enjoy. But there are a lot of other difficulties that bats have in urban environments, like access to clean water, where they have to fly and drink on the wing, so to speak. So that's why they're sort of swooping down, grabbing a drink of water, and then they'll sort of circle back and swoop again to get water. And if we don't have open water sources that are easy for them to access, then they have a difficulty getting water. And a lack of places to hide or a lack of diversity of vegetation that supports a diversity of insects for them to eat. They can collide with glass buildings, which can be a problem for them. And then any kind of chemical pollution that can affect people can also affect bats.
Are there any misconceptions about bats that you'd like to clear up, things that you think people assume about them that might be wrong?
Well, there are actually many misconceptions, though I think a lot of people have been learning because of things like BatFest at the Arboretum and the Museum of Natural History here, as well as the Houston Zoo have great places where you can go learn about bats. So more people know about them, but there's a misconception that they're blind, but all bats can see. And as I mentioned earlier, they also have very sophisticated sonar system called echolocation. Bats are not flying rodents. They are not mice with wings. They're actually in an order of mammals that is more closely related to humans than they are to rodents. And they have really unique immune systems and abilities to live in the environments that they choose.
You are, of course, fascinated by them. You research them. But generally speaking, for the rest of us, should we avoid them?
Bats, you should never, like any animal, any wildlife, you should never go and try to handle a wild animal because it can bite you. And because bats are mammals and not that different from humans, we can get their diseases. And we can give them diseases, too. So we recommend that people can live very safely with bats if you never try to touch one. And if you do find a bat in a suspicious place, like on the ground or out during the day, there are ways that you can maneuver them without handling them, scooping them up in a box or something like that, to move them out of way so that children and pets don't try to interact with them either.
What led you to study bats?
I've always loved animals. And when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, my mom got interested in bats. And so we would go around. The state of Texas is the battiest state in our country. We have maybe 37 different species of bats in Texas, and great places to go watch bats. And so she and I would go on these sort of batting adventures. And when I finished my undergraduate degree, I was looking for a job and ultimately was hired by Bat Conservation International that is headquartered in Austin, Texas. And so it just sort of one thing led to the other.
Cullen Geiselman is a Houston-based conservationist and bat researcher. We spoke with her last year. The Houston Arboretum and Nature Center hosts a pair of bat-related events, September 22nd and 23rd.